We'll begin. Good morning. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Absolute trust. There are very few things in the world that you can trust absolutely. It seems that as the older and more experienced you become, the list of things you can trust becomes shorter and shorter. Children, on the other hand, will trust and believe almost anything you tell them. Take, for example, a child's trust for his father. Children usually believe their father is indestructible and infinitely intelligent. Children have the tendency to trust their fathers absolutely. If a father were to set his son on top of a refrigerator and tell him to jump, the boy trusts absolutely that he will land safely in his father's arms. If a father tells his child that to go to sleep and that everything will be all right in the morning, the child trusts absolutely that everything will indeed be all right. Our text for this morning gives insight into the absolute trust that God's children have in the word of their father. We read from John 4, verse 46 to 53. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he had made water wine. And there was a certain official whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus had come out of Judea into Galilee, he went to him and implored him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then Jesus said to him, "Unless you people see signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." The nobleman said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your son lives." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him, and they told him, saying, "Your son lives." And he inquired of them the hour when he got better. And they said to him, "Yesterday, at the seventh hour, the fever left him." So the father knew that it was the same hour in which Jesus said to him, "Your son lives." And he himself believed, and his whole household. In our text this morning, we find Jesus returning to Galilee after spending time in Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. Jesus and his disciples returned to the city of Cana, where Jesus had already established his reputation as a miracle worker when he had changed water into wine at a friend's wedding feast. Our text introduces us very casually to a certain official, presumably a Gentile of the Roman military. This official has heard of Jesus and his power and decides to travel all the way from Capernaum, a 15-mile journey gaining 1,500 feet in elevation, in order to humble himself before the supposed miracle worker and to ask for his help. Without any preamble, the official boldly asked Jesus to come down to Capernaum and heal his son. The official is so distraught and out of options that he believes the only way for his son to recover is through a miracle. Our Lord Jesus has a very interesting response. Instead of being and hurrying down to Capernaum to heal the boy, he rebukes the official. He says, "Unless you people signs and wonders, you will by no means believe." Jesus is obviously disappointed at the lack of faith he has witnessed in this official and in the Galileans. And it's easy to see Jesus' point. What was with these people? They had the literal Son of God, the prophesied Messiah, standing right in front of them in their presence, and instead of hailing him as the Savior of the world and rejoicing at his coming, they treat him as a mere sideshow, as an ambiguous anomaly of whom they begged miracles, signs, and wonders. Yet at times we tend to treat our Savior the same way, don't we? So often we fall into the same pattern. Let me ask you, in your prayers, do you spend more time thanking God for the redemption given through his Son, or in supplication for the desires of this very temporary life? I know that I am generally guilty of the latter. Rather than being content with the comfort and promises offered in God's words, much like the Roman official, we ask God to come down and help us. We live in a society of instant gratification. Why can't God just come down and show himself and his power? Why won't he come down and take a physical and active role in our lives? We doubt the power of God and his word. We look back to our text for a solution to our doubts. The official is not fazed by Jesus' rebuking. Instead of becoming angry or upset by the verbal smackdown which Jesus just gave him, the official calmly and boldly wrestles for the life of his sick child. He implores Jesus again, "Sir, come down before my child dies." In the next verse, we see a very drastic transition in the whole situation. Jesus turns to the official and simply says, "Go your way, your son will live." So the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him, and he went his way. Wow. What an amazing choice of action by our Savior. Jesus could have manifested his power in any sort of fantastical or shocking way. He could have shot lightning down from the sky and brought the boy back to life, like Frankenstein's monster. He could have made the earth quake with his very words, or he could have just gone down to Capernaum and healed the boy at his bedside. Instead, he chose to show his great power through his powerful word. Jesus is making an important point. His word is more powerful than any signs and wonders that we could ever see. This certain Roman official was dead set on his goal. He was persistent. He was not dismayed by Jesus' rebuke. He was absolutely sure that he needed Jesus to come down to Capernaum in order for his son to live. Yet, with six small words, Jesus completely changed the heart of the official. The official didn't even question him. He simply believed the word of Jesus, and he went his way. That is absolute power. Any doubts the official had concerning the health of his son were completely wiped away by the words of Christ. The same miracle works in our hearts every time we hear God's word. On his way to Capernaum, the official runs into his servants who are on their way to meet him. After collaborating their stories, the official concludes that his son was indeed healed at the very hour when Jesus said to him, "Your son will live." As a result, he and his entire household believed. Hebrews 4:12 reads, "The word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." The word of God is alive, and it is absolutely powerful. And we trust it, absolutely. In fact, that's exactly what you are doing as you sit here this morning. The word of God is working in your hearts, strengthening and sustaining your faith, just as it did in the Roman official, so that you are able to trust in God's promises absolutely. When we doubt the power of God in our daily lives, when we beg God to come down and help us with our physical ailments and our earthly needs, he gives us the comfort of his almighty word. When we fail to trust in God's power, we can rejoice in the fact that Jesus never failed. Jesus never failed to trust in his Father. He knew what his mission was here on earth, and he succeeded perfectly. Through his perfect life and innocent death on the cross, Jesus fulfilled all that his Father entrusted him with by achieving the redemption of every soul. Every time we go to God's word for comfort and guidance, we can be just as confident as the Roman official that the word is truth. Absolute trust. It may be true that there are not many things in this world that you can trust absolutely. However, when it comes to the power of God and his powerful word, we have no doubts. A child may jump from the top of the fridge and trust that his father will safely catch him. With the word of God working in our hearts, we too can trust absolutely that our heavenly Father will be open and ready to catch us and hold us up until the final day. There is no need for us to ask God to come down and show himself. After all, he is already here, in spirit, in our hearts, and in his word. Psalm 119, verse 105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." God gives us his word, which has the power to create and sustain our faith and light the very paths of our lives. His word gives us confidence, so that like the official from Capernaum, we too may go our way, believing and trusting in his powerful word. In Jesus' name, amen. We will conclude our worship this morning with the singing of hymn 284, verses 1 and 4. 284, 1 and 4. Recorded it for you.